Yea, my people, and I would say unto you this day, be not dismayed nor be discouraged at the things that you shall see, nor the things that you shall hear. For I say unto thee that the Antichrist is well and alive upon the earth. Yea, he is doing the things that he can do, yea, the things that I allow him to do at this time. And I say unto you, be not dismayed when you see things begin to happen. Be not dismayed when you hear things come across the airwaves. For yea, I say unto you that it is about that time when the sickle shall be put in, and I shall begin to reap the earth. And I say unto thee, be not discouraged, for I do have a remnant. Yea, I watch for thee, and I look out for thee. And yea, I say unto you, even though the persecutions and the times of trouble shall come, yea, I, the Lord thy God, am still upon my throne. Yea, I still have control of those things that shall happen around about thee. But I say unto you, my people, look unto the Lord, for I am the only living God. I am an awesome God today. I am a mighty God today. I am a God of all power. There's none like unto me, saith God. Yea, my people, look unto the Lord your God and believe. Yea, look unto the Lord your God and trust. Be not one that has fear. Be not one that is discouraged. Be not one that says why and how and why is this? For I say unto you that the Lord thy God has already recorded it, and it shall come to pass. Even those things that I have said unto my church, they shall come to pass, saith God. For you live in that time and in that hour. Did I not say unto you that this generation would see the coming of my son? And I say unto you, he shall come, and yea, he shall come with the angels behind him. And in that day he shall come, and you shall rule and reign with him. You shall have the power that I give unto you, for you are my church, you are my people. And yea, I say unto thee, stand, be redeemed in thy mind, be redeemed in thy spirit, be redeemed in thy body. For yea, the Lord thy God walketh up and down to and fro in his earth, seeking those who would bow their knee to me. For remember, I have said, every knee, sinner and saint alike, shall bow their knee unto the Lord thy God. For I am awesome. I am awesome, saith God.
Well, are you ready for the word this morning? I'm kind of debating as to which way to go. I've been listening to some things this week, and it's been really curious for me. Of some of the things I've heard, it's really set my mind thinking on a lot of different areas. And before I get into that, we need to do our favorite verse. So I'll move on if I don't do that. So I've got to do this. 2 Corinthians 2:14, say it with me. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now, we've been talking about that with confession, that one of the ways, not the only way, but one of the ways that God leads us in triumph, and one of the ways we diffuse his fragrance, the knowledge of his, fragrance of his knowledge in every place, is by our confession. And if you've noticed, I'm just going to go into the word this morning that Pastor Paul had for us. We're in troubled times, and it's a lot more troubled times than what we expect or anticipate, simply because our news filters things. Even Fox News filters things. I'm always amazed when the press comes out and says, why don't people know this? I thought, we only know what you tell us, because we don't have your resources. If you know this stuff, why aren't you telling us these things? And it just is amazing to me. But one of the things I just want to share with you real quick, I heard this was posted on YouTube. You can contact me afterwards, and I'll tell you where to go on YouTube. And I might tell you where to go anyway. Choose God and go to heaven, okay? That's easy. But this was posted about 2 months ago on YouTube, and he was saying 2 months ago, this man was saying 2 months ago, and he's quite reputable, that he believes in 10 months we're going to be in a major, major war in the Middle East. And it says ISIS is only the beginning of it. one of the things that that he was saying, and this just little bits of information that I've been really thinking about, but one of the words for Allah, one of his names, because we think about Allah Akbar, you know, Allah is great. And he will say, this guy's a Jew, and he knows his wife is Egyptian, was raised in Egypt. And so she knows these things, and they live in Israel, and they're very influential people. But Allah Akbar does not mean Allah is great. It means Allah is greater. There's another word for great, but it means Allah is greater. So when they say Allah Akbar, what they're saying is Allah is greater than your God. He is greater than your politics. He is greater than all. He's greater than whatever other system that they're coming up against. Remember in the Fort Hood shooting, while he was shooting, he was yelling Allah Akbar. And he was saying God, or he's saying, I want to get this right, Allah is greater than the U.S. military because he's shooting down our troops. This is what it means. Doesn't mean Allah is great. It means he is greater. So you have to put that into context in whatever situation they're yelling at, that Allah is greater than whatever they're confronting. Now, one of the names that he gave for that is used of Allah means, I can't pronounce the name because I heard it real quickly and I didn't go back and re-listen to it real intensely, but it literally means Allah the greatest deceiver. Now, how would you like to worship a God whose name is the greatest deceiver? There is such a contrast between Allah and Jesus that a rational person would have to reject Islam, because who would worship a God that is the greatest deceiver? Now, who does the Bible say the greatest deceiver is? Satan. And he was making a point with no holds barred that Islam is a satanic religion. It's not one of the great theistic religions. I've been taught that all my life. You know, there's Judaism, Christianity, and Islam are the great mono religions of the world, that they only serve one God. But Islam is not like us. Did you know 25 times in our Bible, we are commanded to either love our neighbors or to love our enemies? 25 times we are commanded in our scriptures. The word love in the Quran is only used of what Allah loves. And it's never used of Allah and the people. Muslims are never commanded to love each other or to love your enemies. They are never love is not part of their religion. It is jihad. It is the struggle. It is the overcoming. So their religion is a constant struggle, by their own admission, with no victory in sight. Praise God, we have God. We have Yahweh. And so often you've heard me over the last several years, I talk about Yahweh. I try to use his name Yahweh when we're reading scripture, even New Testament scripture where it calls God Lord. I try to insert Yahweh, because Yahweh is I am that I am. He is everything. He is love. We are commanded to love because Yahweh loves us. Why do we love God? Because he first loved us. While we were sinners, he loved us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But in Islam, to perish is a good thing. Hari Kari is a good thing. To murder unbelievers is a good thing. Matter of fact, the Muslims don't even know for sure if Muhammad got into their heaven, because there's no guarantee. Oh, say, but if you die as a martyr, you get in. Maybe. There is no guarantee that you can get into their heaven. They have no sure hope. And the only hope they have is through hate of killing those who do not love Allah. But yet Allah's never said to love us. I like it. He said, I'll go ahead and share this with you. because I kind of, this is partly why I dismiss some of the smaller children, because I don't want to get them too nervous about this. But he says Islam is not a religion. Now stay with me on this, because I love this. He says it's a psychosis. He says anybody who thinks they can conquer the world isn't in their right mind. It's been tried. For one person to conquer the entire world is not in their right mind. Now, Christianity, you could say, well, yeah, but God's kingdom is going to be over the earth. Yeah, but he doesn't conquer. Not the way Islam does. Not the way other nations do. It's not a natural government that Jesus is going to impose. It's a spiritual kingdom. And we can come into it by choice. Where Islam, you are commanded to convert the unbelievers or kill them. That is the only, those are the only two options. And he says, so Islam believes that they can conquer the whole world. And I'm trying to remember the second one right now. What was this? Conquer the whole world? Because she doesn't know where I'm going. And to kill all the Jews. And by that they mean Christians too. Because they refer to the Christians and the Jews as being people of the book. So they want to kill all the people of the book. So when they talk about killing Jews, and this is even a saying in Islam that they teach their children. Saturday is the day to kill the Jews and Sunday is the day to kill the Christians. This is what they teach their children. So he says, anybody who believes they can conquer the whole world and anyone who believes that they can kill all the Jews and all the Christians are nuts. He said, this is a psychosis. It's not a religion. I love his reasoning. If God's angry with the Jews, the Bible says he'll scatter them to the four corners of the earth. So you can't kill all the Jews until you conquer the entire world. But it's impossible to conquer the entire world. So this is a psychosis. It's a mental illness. Now, his solution is, if someone has a mental illness, if someone is sick, what do? You love them. You bring them to Jesus Christ. That's the solution. It's not through war, not through just natural combat. We've got to convert Muslims to Christianity, to teach them about the true God, the living God, the God who is not afraid to touch us, who's not afraid to handle us, to not afraid to be in our presence, a God who is strong enough that he can change us when he comes into our lives rather than us changing him. What kind of a God could be a God if touching what he created will destroy him? What kind of a God? Who would worship that kind of a God? But you know, Hinduism worships that kind of a God. Shintoism, they're kind of out by themselves. And Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, they all believe that if you touch God, God's no longer God. That he's not strong enough to change you, but you are strong enough to change God. Isn't that awesome? And these are the people that we need to be aware of what they believe. We need to be aware of these things. And I really loved it the other day, even when I was listening to him. He says, the thing is, we know we win because we're dealing with a psychosis. But this is the same guy who was predicting 2 months ago, in 10 months, we'll be in a major war in the Middle East. He said, it's erupting right now. It's beginning to happen right now. We're seeing it unfold before our eyes. We have a president of the United States has no clue what to do. No clue what to do. The other day, he said, well, he's waiting on plans from the military. The military, did you hear, came out the day after that? They said, we have plans. We're waiting for orders. We're waiting for our commander-in-chief to tell us what to do. We have plans. They're already drawn up. We have plans for every contingency. We have plans for everything that needs to be done, but we need to be told we can go. And I've heard from somebody else in the military high up that they said our military is ready to go. I mean, we talk about a war weariness. Our military is ready to go. They're ready to finish the job, but we're not letting them go. And I'm not saying war is the solution. I'm not saying that. You've got to be wise and you've got to be circumspect in this. But to sit by and do nothing allows evil to rule and reign. Now, let me apply this to confession. We cannot sit and do nothing with our lives. We cannot sit and not make the right profession of our faith. Amen? We cannot just wait till things unfold in the world and hope that we're going to somehow escape what is coming upon the world. But we've got to hold fast our profession. If the things are going to change in the world that much, and he says he hopes he's wrong in eight months we're going to be in war. He says, I hope I'm wrong. He says, I've been wrong before. I've said things and people said, and they came to pass. He predicted 9-1-1. He said, this is what's going to happen. Pilots from Saudi Arabia are going to come into the United States, are going to take planes and are going to fly them into World Trade Center. He says, I'm not a prophet. He says, I read the news wires. He says, his wife is in intelligence in Israel. She gathers information. He says, I'm just telling you what's coming across the wires. He says, I'm not a prophet. I'm just telling you what's coming to pass. But with what he's hearing about what's coming to pass, we are facing a major war. Who the players of that are, I don't know. My personal belief, I guess, is that this will be a Psalm 83 war. So look at Psalm 83. Read Psalm 83. Find out what Psalm 83 means. But in Psalm 83, the war comes because people want to destroy Israel. They hate Israel. They're going to eradicate God from the face of the earth. Israel wins. There's so much he said. I don't want to go into all of it because it'll take us down a lot of different things. But I believe we're getting ready for the Psalm 83 war. I believe that for over a year now that we're getting ready for the Psalm 83 war. That's not the final war. But after Psalm 83, everybody will say, peace. Peace. We finally achieved it. We've got peace in the Middle East. Well, why? Because the Muslims have been defeated. We've got peace. Israel is going to begin to expand its territory, and guess what territory they're going to have? All the oil in the world is going to belong to Israel. So everybody's going to say peace. And then in Ezekiel 38, the war is to plunder Israel. Why? What does Israel have now that anybody wants to plunder? Flowers that they send to Europe? Vegetables that they send? Do you know that they're the major exporter of flowers in the world? Did you know that they supply most of the fruit and many vegetables for Europe? That Europe depends on Israel for this food? So if Israel gets wiped out, Europe's going to starve. Not just go cold in the winter without fuel. They're going to starve without Israel. So they need Israel to survive. So they're in a quandary here as to what to do. But Israel's going to survive and Israel's going to grow. But in Ezekiel 38, the war comes to plunder Israel. Well, we're not there yet. Israel doesn't have that much to plunder, but they're going to have soon, maybe in a year. I'm just saying, be aware. Be aware. Be alert as to what is going on in the world, and don't lose the profession of your faith. Now, I'll get into this much of the message that I had prepared, but in Hebrews 10:23, in the New King James, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. In the King James Version, and I always quote King James out of this because I just love how it says it, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. And we talked about profession, confession last week. Literally means to be in agreement with God or say the same thing that God says. So if we are people of the book, then we need to agree with the book that we're the people of. Amen? Does that make sense? We need to agree with the book. If you don't agree with the book, you're not a people of the book. You're a people of your opinion. You're a people of your attitude. We need to be a people of the book. We need to agree with the Bible. The Bible says Israel will not be destroyed. So by that very notion, we understand that Islam is not going to kill all the Jews in the earth. We know that Israel is not going to be destroyed. So therefore, nuclear weapons in the Middle East are not going to be used against Israel. Now, Israel may use nuclear weapons to wipe out the enemy, but they won't be used in Israel because Israel will still be there. Now, we need to hold fast our confession of faith that God is going to deliver Israel. And we are learning that as Christians, we have been grafted in to the root of Jesus Christ with the Jews. So we are branches in that vine. Okay? Just like the Jews are branches, we are branches. So what happened? This is one of the cool things. The Bible says, he who curses Israel will be cursed. Well, we know that Islam is cursed because they've cursed Israel. They want to destroy the people of God. So we know they're cursed. We know they're not going to win. We know that things are going to go against them. They just haven't figured it out yet because they're following the great deceiver, the greatest deceiver. They're following the father of lies. They're following this Muhammad that never talked to Allah, but he gives us an explanation in the book of the Quran of what Allah wants. But yet by his own admission, he never talked to Allah. So that'd be like me talking to Ron to find out what my wife wants. It's like, well, Ron will try to figure out, but he doesn't know what my wife wants because he can't talk to my wife. You know, it's like, so how do we know what Allah really wants? Well, we don't. Oh, this is another thing. Another word for Allah is demon. Just thought you'd like to know. It's curious. It's really curious. But you have to know Arabic to get this stuff out. And our press filters it because they don't want you to know these things. They don't want you to know the horrors of Islam. You know, our president came out the other day and said that this is not a religious war. Yes, it is. It's Allah against the world. It's Allah against Yahweh, against the God of the Jews, against the Christians. It is a religious war. If you don't grasp that, how do you fight this? Because all wars have to be fought ideologically as well as militarily. So we've got to understand what is the basis of this war. Now, here in Hebrews 10:23, where it says a profession of our faith, the New King James says a confession of our hope. Well, hope is a more accurate translation of that word because it really means the confident expectation, and I add, of the promises of Yahweh. Hold fast the profession, confession of your hope, which is the confident expectation of the promise of Yahweh. See, confession is literally to set ourselves in agreement with Yahweh, to say what he says, to obey what God says to do. Now, in Matthew 12:34, don't turn there, but in Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, out of the abundance or the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, in Jewish priests have an old saying. I don't know how old it is, but it's been around for several hundred years, that words of the heart are not enough. They must be spoken out loud. Now, a lot of times, we'll say when you're in a situation, I believe this, but you say it in your heart. But words of the heart are not enough. They've got to come out of your mouth. Jesus is Lord. You may not be able to say that publicly. When I was in Africa, we had 12 secret converts in one of our mission or one of our nights when I got to preach. You know, they said we had 12 secret converts. What do you mean a secret convert? What is a secret convert? Nobody would tell me. I had 12 secret converts. And I couldn't get it. Two nights later, we're driving out of the area after the church service, and over here across the field is a mosque. And they're praying to Allah, and they're worshiping him. And it dawned on me, my lightning fast mind, the 12 secret converts were young people that have accepted, young Muslim people that have accepted Jesus Christ. And if they make a public confession of it, they risk at the least of being kicked out of their household. At the most, they will be murdered. This is what they do. This is how they treat people. If you don't accept, if you leave the faith, we murder you. We kill you. We cut off your hands. We cut off your head. This and you say, well, nobody would do that. They're doing it today. Did you hear about the honor killings in the United States? We've had 3 or 4 of them, I think, or at least 2 or 3. We've had honor killings in the United States where a Muslim girl, as a teenager, starts to date an American boy, whether Christian or non-Christian, it doesn't really matter because he's not Muslim. And the father, because he loves the daughter, kills her. This is happening in the United States. It's happening in Canada. They say, but they came to America. They're moderate Muslims. That's the problem. They're moderate Muslims, and they do this to their children. And they do it because they love them, and they don't want to see them go to hell, but they murder their own children. This is not a God of love. He says, so we need to hold on to that confident expectation. We need to set ourselves in agreement with Yahweh, and out of the overflow of our heart, we speak. And it's got to be spoken out loud. Sometimes you've got to say somewhere, sometime, Jesus is Lord. You've got to make that declaration. You've got to make the declaration, I believe in the will of God for my life. I believe these things. And now you've got an expectation on yourself. You've got to know what the will of God is so you know what to speak. So you can fill up your heart. There's too many Christians, oh, I believe in God. Well, what do you believe about God? I don't know. Do you know to declare boldly that our God is a good God and in Him there is no shadow of changing, there is no variation, it will still get you in trouble in a lot of churches? This is what I want to get into in a couple weeks on Sunday night. You can still get into trouble for saying God's perfect will is to heal you. You can get in trouble for that in churches. Why? They don't know the will of God. Do they love God? Yes, I'm sure that they love God. I'm sure they want to please God. But to disagree with God, now you can read, I guess Numbers 13, 14, you can read this. I read it again this morning for myself. You can go there and read. And when you give an evil report, when you disagree with God, it calls it an evil report and says you have an evil heart. So if I read in God's word, by His stripes I was healed, and I say, well, God doesn't heal anymore. Well, what did Jesus die on the cross for? Did Jesus buy us eternal salvation? Well, yeah. If you believe in Jesus, anybody at any time, if they believe in Jesus, they're safe. Well, if anybody at any time believes in Jesus for healing, can they be healed? Well, now, brother, I really don't know about that. Well, wait a minute. Didn't Jesus take all of our sicknesses and all diseases on Him at the cross? Yeah, He did. That's what Isaiah 53 says. He took all of our pain, all of our mental anguish, all of our suffering, all of our PTSD, all of our psychosis. He took all of those on the cross, all of our mental illness. He took all those on the cross with Him. But some people say, but that's not enough. I didn't take it all. Well, now, see, you're giving an evil report, and you're now, well, I'll put it this way. How can two walk together except they be agreed? I mean, you just call God a liar. Well, I would never call God a liar. But if you believe healing's passed away, let me take you to a place here. This isn't in my notes. I hope I can find this quickly. I think it's in Corinthians. I'm going to let you out here in just a few minutes, but I just want to say these few things. In Corinthians, it says, when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will pass away. Praise you, Jesus. See, a lot of things hinge on this scripture. I think it's in 13:9. I know there's some Bible scholars in here. Yes, thank you. 1 Corinthians 13, let's start in verse 8. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Well, we had a prophecy this morning. It literally means to cease. It says, whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Verse 10, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Now let me tell you, has the perfect come? I don't think so. I mean, I know there's Christians who believe that Jesus physically returned in 1919 and that we are currently living in the millennial kingdom. I know some of them. I don't know if one still believes it or not, but there's one in Kaiser that's pastoring. There were several up in Cumberland that believe that we are living in the millennial reign of Christ right now. They would say the perfect has come. I said, no, what, perfect? If this is as good as God can do, I'm switching gods. I'm telling you, if Jesus is in control now, let's order lunch or pizza and we'll just, you know, let's just have a fine time, forget ever about coming back to church, because that's not the kind of God I can worship. Okay? But another translation is that which is perfect. When knowledge increases, well, we don't need tongues. We don't need prophecy. We don't need these things anymore. They'll pass away. A dear friend of mine years ago told me, he says, Gordon, this literally means that when we get enough wisdom and intelligence, these things will pass away and we won't do it anymore. And he says, the words literally mean when men cease to prophesy, it will pass away. When men stop speaking in tongues, it will pass away. He says, see, it's passed away. I said, wait a minute, I haven't stopped. I haven't stopped. I'm sorry. I mean, would anybody in their right mind as a Christian say this, that God has cut off the period of salvation? I mean, we even believe during the tribulation, when literally all hell is breaking loose, people can still get born again, right? We believe that. Well, if you can still be saved when the judgment of God is falling on the earth and everyone's been just cut off, why would God cut off healing to his children? The Bible says healing is bread to the children. Why would God cut off bread to us? Give us this day our daily bread. It's physical nourishment. It includes healing. Give us this day our daily bread. No, that passed away. Jesus didn't mean that. Jesus only meant that for when he was on the earth. Jesus only meant that for when the apostles lived. Have you heard that one? Healing passed away when the last apostle died. Well, golly, there must still be some alive. See, there's a big argument in some charismatic or Pentecostal denominations, apostles don't exist any longer. Oh, really? When did they quit? Well, when the last one died. But Paul wasn't an apostle. But they include Paul as an apostle. Oh, but he was still alive in the time of Jesus. Oh, but wait a minute. We know healing was still a normal thing in the churches up to 500 A.D., When did the last apostle die? When did Peter or Paul die? I don't know that, but I don't think they were 500 years old when they died. So healing was still going on. We have reports that when Christianity was just about wiped off the face of the earth, that the monks withdrew into the cloisters, and that's who preserved the Bible for us, because Christianity was almost literally eradicated from the earth. And up in England, some of the faraway outposts, they kept the Bible, and they kept, and the stories are still to this day, during that period of darkness, that people, when they needed healing, would go to the cloisters and knock on the door. Could the priest pray for me? Yes. And they'd slip the name through the door, because they didn't know if they were an enemy or not, and the people would still get healed. Wow. Isn't it amazing? Well, tongues has passed away. We all know tongues has passed away. Really? Have the gifts of the Spirit passed away? Oh, yes, they've passed away. Really? See, this is how silly we get to be. Now, I've just been wondering. I'm throwing this out as a thought. The only unforgivable sin is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. We generally interpret that to be a rejection of Christ. But if you reject his word, is it blasphemy of the Holy Ghost? To say the works of God have passed away, is that blasphemy? To say that God no longer heals, that tongues no longer exist, that prophecies no longer come forth. To say all these things, is that blasphemy? Now, I'm really not quite sure at this point whether I'm ready to go that far, but it's close enough it scares me. For these Christians, now if you don't want to believe in it, I can accept that. If you don't want to participate, I can accept that. If you want to get sickness, you can have mine too. If you don't want these things, I understand. If your faith isn't strong enough, I can understand that. But to say that God has chosen in his infinite wisdom and mercy and grace and power, that God has chosen to not heal, that God has chosen to not bless his children, that's too close for blasphemy for me. That makes me start getting worried. And yet I know there's people like this that still love God. I'm just throwing it out for you. Think about it. What are the things in the scripture that you read and say, wow, that's just too hard for me to believe? Ever been like that? And I know a lot of people don't like our form of praise and worship. I know some close pastors I dearly love that they're really into the Judaic worship, and they don't like our kinds of worship. And I have no problem. I can worship that way, and I have no problems at all. Some people only like the old-fashioned hymns. I can worship in old-fashioned hymns. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm not going to say that God only has one form of worship that he can have. God can manifest many different forms. God's God. I'll give him the place to do that. I'll give God the opportunity. Amaze me, Lord. Shock me. Knock me off my high horse. Every time I get to a place where I think I have it figured out, God expands the boundaries and I've got to start all over again. It's like, oh, Lord, can't you just stay in one place one time? He said, no, I'm everywhere. He can't stay in one place. He's everywhere. He inhabits all. See, worship isn't based on the songs that you sing or the rhythm of the music. It's based on the condition of your heart. I've been in churches, they don't believe in the Holy Ghost, they don't believe in the tongues, they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, they believe in a dead religion. I can say that because I was one of them one time. I know what they believe, and they just hope for the best and live life as good as they know how and hope for the best. And in the midst of their singing, my heart was going up to the Lord. And I could worship God in the midst of them because I know my God. But some people, well, I can't worship God in this. It's just too upsetting for me. Maybe you need to change your heart. And I'm speaking to charismatics, because some charismatics, well, if I go into another church, I just can't worship. God is not there. Because I asked God when I was in that church. I said, God, are you even here? Because I'm the only person whose hand even started up. He's like, God, are you even in this place? He goes, yes. Well, that rocked my little world. He said, yes, I'm here. And he says, and I love this, as soon as they recognize that I'm with them, I'll start to move. Isn't that like God? And if we will recognize that God is with us, he'll start to move. If we now, how do we recognize? It's not enough to have a confession in your heart. It's got to come out your mouth. Lord, I believe. I believe you're my healer. I believe you're my justifier. I believe you're my righteousness. I believe you're my salvation. Lord, I believe in you. But I don't feel healed. But Lord, I believe in you. I don't feel righteous. But Lord, I believe in you. I don't feel like I'm worthy to approach your throne. But I'm going to approach your throne because you said I can boldly approach your throne in the time of my need to receive help and mercy. When I feel the least able to come before God, that's when God says, come before me and I'll give you what you need. See, I didn't get cleaned up and come to God. I came to God in filthy rags. I came to God in my own righteousness. And he so convicted me of who I wasn't and what I thought I was. All I could do was say, Lord, have mercy on me. And guess what? He did. And it's the same way with you if you think about it. You didn't put on your best suit and walk into church and say, Lord, I'm going to honor you by giving you my life. No, God honors us by giving his life to us. And our confession is to be in agreement with God. It's not just the words of our mouth. The Bible talks about vain babblings, that the pagans do have vain babblings, and they go in and they do all this stuff. And sometimes our confessions of faith have been vain babblings. It's just been words that we repeat. Remember, like the guys who knew Paul said, they were talking to a demon spirit. Said, I adjure you by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out of that man. And the demon spoke to him. You believe that? Demon spoke to him. He said, I know Paul and I know this Jesus. Who are you? And he leaped on him and stripped him of their clothes and sent him running naked. I don't want to be one of them. I've been naked. It wasn't fun. So we need to have our relation right with God. And then when we speak, it's not vain babbling. It's not just mouthing words because we've heard somebody else say them. We're mouthing words because I believe in the God who became flesh, the God who went to the cross, the God who suffered in my place, the God who took all my sickness, all my sins, all my issues, I believe in the God that took all those things and died for me. And I thank you, Father, that by his stripes I was healed. I am healed. I am whole. Not because of who I am. Not even because I am believing right, but because Jesus has borne it for me. I am free because of what he did. And again, our faith sometimes gets in the way of our confession. Because sometimes our confession agrees with God. And our thinking about our faith messes up our just saying, God, I believe in you. I don't understand, but I believe in you. Because our faith says, I've got to understand every little thing about it. Well, then you'd be God. And you're not. So just say, Lord, I trust in this Jesus that died for me. I trust in what he provided for me at the cross. I trust in the salvation that he has offered to me. And Lord, I'm just a fool, but Lord, I receive it. Lord, how many times have we prayed, Lord, have your way in me? Well, let him. Let him have his way in you. Amen? I'll close with this. I'm over, but I'll close with this. When I first started preaching, I got sick every Sunday, every time I got sick. And finally, I was in West Milton, Ohio, and I go into this church, and I'm trying not to get sick. I'm trying not to throw up. I'm trying to keep all my nerves under restraint and all this stuff. And it started happening again before church even started. So I run into the bathroom, and I was ticked off at God. Have you ever been ticked off at God? I was really upset. And I told God, I said, when this deal started, I told you I would go in the ministry if you would take care of the preaching, and you said yes. It's about time you took over. He said, will you let me? He said, I've been waiting on you to let me do the preaching. I don't even know how to respond to that. It's like, oh, okay. After I preached that day, and I didn't throw up. That was the last. I never had nausea after that. I was wonderful. But it was so funny because we're walking out of church. I had two or three guys said, "I bet you're going to be the next Billy Graham." Man, I just got delivered from nausea before preaching. I'm not even thinking about next week yet. I'm just grateful for today. You know, today is enough to worry about. I'm not worried about anything else. But it's like, oh well, bless their little hearts. But see, we need to let God be God. And our confession needs to be, Lord, have your way in me. Do what you want in me, and I'll just let you do it. Lord, if you want to heal me, I'll be healed. Well, guess what? He wants to. Lord, I want to be free from all the fears of life. Guess what? He wants you to be free. Lord, I need certain things in my life. They're not desires. They're not wants. I have actual needs in my life. Guess what? God wants to fill your needs. Let him. Lord, here I am. I'm your servant. See, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. What does it say? Finish it with me. And all these things, God, will be added unto you, will be given to you. All these things. We're fighting after all the things. We're not trusting in the God who has the things. We need to trust in God. Our confession. Lord, I don't understand it. I agree with you. I'm just setting myself in agreement with you. Lord, if you say I'm healed, I'm healed. If you say I've got the joy of the Lord in my heart, I got the joy of the Lord in my heart. Hello? I got the joy of the Lord in my heart. First time I smiled in church, I thought I was going to get thrown out. First time I laughed in church, oh, they're coming to get me now. The deacons are lining up behind me. They're going to pull me out. But the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. I am going to have joy. It has always bothered me that Christians, when they come into church, it's one of the saddest places on earth. Why? They don't know there's joy. Why do young kids a lot of times not want to come back to church? It's because they're tired of being around all the long faces. When they're with their friends, they have fun. What a friend we have in Jesus. Does that give you a clue? If Jesus is our friend, we ought to have fun in his house. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you got something out of this. Next week, we'll talk more about confession. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you. Lord, we do have a friend in Jesus. Lord, we do have that hope that you are our Father. We have that confident expectation, God, that you are willing to work and operate in our life. We thank you, Father, for what you did in Jesus at the cross. We thank you, God, that you have broken every curse. Lord, you've lifted every sickness and every disease. God, you have redeemed us from everything that the enemy would do against us. And we thank you, God, we are complete in you in Christ. And we thank you, God, that we're just continuing to walk with you and to grow in you, and you are continuing to increase in us. And God, we give you the honor for this. Lord, we don't understand it all. We don't have to understand it all, but we trust in you, in Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our salvation. And we honor you, Father, for your love for us. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.